Welcome to the Western New York Entrepreneur Podcast, helping Western New York entrepreneurs take the next step in their business. If you love Western New York and entrepreneurship, this is the podcast for you. Whether you have been in business for 20 years or 20 minutes, there is something for everyone. David Schaub interviews the top entrepreneurs in Western New York so you can take your next step in your own business.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode. Thank you for joining us. As always, we appreciate you for listening and joining with us. Today's gonna be a really cool episode, but before I dive in with that, thank you so much for everyone who came to our networking event last night. It was awesome. It was great to see everybody. It was great to actually be near people outside of Zoom in a safe, a COVID restricted way. But either way, guys, thank you so much for coming out. Thank you for just bringing the energy. Thank you for just, taking this next step with me. And this is just the beginning. This is not as good as it gets. Again, I just want to, before we start, thank you for attending the event. And for those who couldn't get a ticket, no worries. We'll have another one soon because they sell out relatively quickly. So that being said, today we have David Kimmelberg. David is actually the founding member of Kimmelberg Law Group, and he actually is the owner of the K House, which was the host for our network event last night. So, Dave, I appreciate you hosting the event. I appreciate you being a guest of the podcast.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to do it, and thank you for having me. This is a real pleasure.
So, double dipping, hosting and being a guest on the podcast. And even though we set this up over, I think it was 5-6 weeks ago, I appreciate your time. So, let's just dive in, Dave. I know we talked, before this podcast, whatnot. But for those that don't know who you are, what you do, how you're involved in the entrepreneur community, especially the startup community, why don't you let people know about that? And while you're at it, let them know how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So I moved to Buffalo about 12 years ago. Prior to that, I started out as a lawyer in New York for a Wall Street firm. And then I moved to Boston for another law firm. Always represented venture capital groups and startups. And then I had the opportunity to move over to SoftBank as its general counsel for about 6 years out of Boston, New York, and Tokyo. And that was great. And then I got a crazy opportunity to move to Buffalo, like I said, about 12 years ago to start up economic development / private equity firm for the Seneca Nation of Indians, which I ran for about 6 or 7 years. That was really entrepreneurial. It was really a startup. And then I retired from the CEO position about 4 years ago, although I'm still on the board there, and went back into law. And I, like you said, I have a law practice, Kimmelberg Law Group. It's headquartered out of New York City because that's where most of our clients are. But I live in Buffalo, so we have a Buffalo office. All we do is represent venture capital groups and high tech startups. And about a year ago, I got the idea to start the K House, which is kind of a co-working plus incubator space for mostly startups and entrepreneurs. And it houses our Buffalo office of our law firm as well.
Yeah. So if you guys have not seen the K House, by the way, for our listeners, you got to see it. It's a beautiful, modern co-working space. There was something in it when I was given a tour about a month ago or so. I'm like, I didn't even know these things existed in co-working spaces, but maybe that's my limited view of co-working spaces. But that being said, so what gave you the idea? Because obviously you're a busy guy. You retired from being a CEO. You went back to being a lawyer and getting out. So why the chaos? Why even add more to your plate, I should say?
I saw sort of a need or a void in the market in Buffalo. I'm super, like I said, I moved to Buffalo 12 years ago. I'm a huge Buffalo booster. I've been involved in the startup community since I moved here. And, I think there's, COVID's obviously put some headwinds in place like it has everything else. But I still think there's a tremendous amount of talent and opportunity in Buffalo in the startup community. And so, I really wanted to create something that helps develop that. And that's what I sort of the intent of the K House is. And part of what we do here is, like I said, in our law practice and in my network, most of our clients are venture capital groups out of New York and Boston. And, they invest in New York and Boston and the Bay Area. They don't invest upstate. And so what I really wanted to try and create was a space that helped develop entrepreneurs and startups and really help sort of link them to downstate capital that's really our network.
Yeah. So obviously you've been outside of Buffalo. What have you noticed that makes Buffalo different, good or bad, if you don't mind me asking it? Because obviously there's a lot of great things about Buffalo, but obviously there's some things that we can always improve on, just like any major city. Anything that kind of sticks out to mind there?
Yeah. You know, like I said, I'm a big Buffalo booster. I love it here. You know, I live in New York and Boston. It's definitely different. I think it's a much more livable city, but has a lot of the upside that major cities have. I mean, pre-COVID, the restaurants, the sort of amenities are great in Buffalo. You know, I don't think winter's nearly as bad as people make it out to be. I think that's, don't trust the hype, but it's a great place to live, a great place to have a business, in my opinion.
Yeah. So one of the questions we have written down here is what do you think is the most important personal quality in a successful startup business founder? I thought that was a great question. I was excited to, as soon as I read that.
So I think, in my experience, I've been doing this for, almost 2.5 decades and I'm an entrepreneur myself. And I think there's sort of two things that, in my opinion, really separate the really great founders from, others. And those are, first off is sort of the ability to execute. Like in my opinion, everybody's got ideas. And I always said, when I was running businesses, ideas are easy. It's the execution that's hard. And anybody can come up with ideas. But, but what really sort of separates a founder that's going to take a good idea and really sort of leverage it and make it work is the execution. And that's hard. It's hard to execute. It's hard to build businesses day in, day out. But if you're focused on the execution and not necessarily just the idea, I think you're worlds ahead. And then the second thing is it's sort of, maybe this word's become overused, but I think it's important. And it sort of ties into the execution piece is grit. People I've always hired, I can teach skills, right? But I can't teach attitude. And the people that have sort of that gritty attitude, like I'm going to get stuff done, that are really sort of want to get into the trenches and really grind stuff through, that's super important quality because it's easy to give up. Right. And you're going to face challenges that are honestly at sometimes going to be insurmountable. But the ability to sort of grind through that and to have, that's how I characterize grit is super important. And that's going to really separate you from the pack.
Yeah. And you kind of sprung this question up when you're talking about this. Usually there's a moment when you realize you have it or don't. In some cases. So I got to imagine, again, putting you on the spot here, but I got to imagine there was a moment in your entrepreneurial career that you're just like, oh my gosh, like this happened. And then you stuck through it. And then, obviously something positive came out of it. Is there anything kind of stands out to you at all when you're like, oh, I guess it's time or do or die, or maybe it was a defining moment for you in your career.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's been multiple of those moments and, I'm the first to admit I am not the smartest person in the room, but I can outwork most, right? I can really grind harder than most and that makes up for a lot. I think instances of that are, when I started Seneca Holdings, like I said, that was, almost 12 years ago. That was really hard. And, I remember in the first 3 months, my family stayed in Boston and I moved out here. I actually lived down in Salamanca for 6 months because that's where we started. And I was commuting home on the weekends and that was tough. And it seemed insurmountable, to use that word again. It just seemed impossible to really execute on what we were trying to do or what our mandate was. But we just toughed through it and it turned out to be, now it's an amazing company. It's huge.
Yeah. I can imagine I never actually talked about this in the podcast, but my mom, is a U.S. Customs officer and she was stationed originally in Michigan.
Okay.
Port Huron, which is a little above Detroit. Yeah. And every weekend she would come home to visit us.
Yeah.
So that's a long drive there and back on your days off. So, you, and my mom will get along really well on that, on that aspect. So it's tough. It's gritty, but know what, when you kind of find out what's important to you, right? Cause you're like, oh, do I make that drive? Right. But that being said, one thing I really want to talk about you today is the startup community here, because that's something huge that I think is going to be so important to the business world here in Buffalo here. I think it's really going to reach its potential. It's really the startup community here. So I want to get your point on that. So what do you think is the biggest limiter or challenge in Western New York in terms of the startup ecosystem?
You know, I think the challenge, so I think there's a lot of talent here, and I've come across, you know, a lot of people that have, that not only have good ideas, but are good on the execution side too, like I said, which is, in my opinion, arguably more important. So I think sort of the ingredients are here. I think what's lacking is true full 360 entrepreneurial startup ecosystem. And what I mean by that is I think the big piece missing in that 360 is capital. You know, I mean, if you go down, so like I said, almost, you know, most of our clients are in New York, and there's so much venture capital down there. And that's only developed over the past 10 years, you know, before, or 15. Before that, it was Boston Bay Area, right? And New York was sort of a, you know, a second cousin to that. But a lot of firms really stepped up, and including some of our clients. One of our biggest clients is Lair Hippo, and they're the biggest VC investor now in all of New York, particularly in early stage seed. So we don't have that here. And that's, you know, we're a smaller city, I get it. But you look at sort of other cities, you know, Boulder, for instance, that, you know, that was not a venture capital sort of.
Are you talking about Boulder, Colorado?
Yeah, Boulder, oh, wow. Colorado. Yeah. But it's become that, you know, Brad Feld's there with Founder Group, and he brought a lot of capital into Boulder and really built that ecosystem. So I think what's missing here is capital. And so the big question is, okay, you've identified the problem, how do you solve it? Right. So, you know, we're at least, you know, a small step, and we're trying to link downstate capital to here, because otherwise, you know, folks down there and the big capital sources aren't thinking about Buffalo. You know, some have sort of Revolution, Rise of the Rest has been here, but it hasn't, in my opinion, fully engaged. So if we can sort of attract that capital and have some hits and some wins, that will only build on itself. You know, I think ACV's been great, that attracted outside capital, but, you know, but that sort of started something. But to sort of get that flywheel going and the real momentum, I think is super important.
So what's a next step, do you think, that Western New York or even small entrepreneurs or just, you know, the everyday business owner, what do you think they can do to do their part on that? Because, like, I imagine it's not just one hand, it's many hands. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, it's tough, right? I mean, how do you get sort of large sources of capital into Buffalo or the Western New York, rather? That's not sort of an easy nut to crack. But in, you know, I don't know, sort of my developing thesis of late is COVID might actually help that in a strange way. You know, COVID's crushed a lot of things, and it, you know, hasn't been great for, you know, a lot of businesses and even the startup community. Although, honestly, our business is, our legal business has, like, been through the roof through COVID, but that's a whole nother story. But I think in a sense, it's made it less important to be in a place, right? So to be in New York, to be in the Bay Area, to be in Boston, to physically be there, right? We've all done, like, I've done way more Zoom meetings than I'd like to, but it's kind of flattened a lot of that sort of terrain. And I think people might be more apt to think, hey, what, all right, I'll take a Zoom meeting in Buffalo. I'll meet this company. And it's easier. Like, now, oh, you need to fly down to see us, or we're going to fly up there to see you. I think in a sense it might be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. And by the way, since we're talking about, you know, a venture capitalist and the startup, I just noticed a lot of people get nervous about that. So that being said, any suggestions on how to pitch? We call it VC funds, but venture capitalist funds.
Yeah, I mean, it can be intimidating. There's no question. You know, I mean, this sort of, when I worked for SoftBank, it was, you know, the typical thing was we had Monday pitch meetings, right? And you'd have a whole bunch of partners sitting in a room, and companies would come in and, you know, you'd be grilled for half an hour, right? And like, and your fate was sort of hanging in the balance. I don't think it's as much like that anymore, which I think is a good thing. But the pitch is super important. And you know, VCs are really, really busy. I mean, honestly, and they just see so much stuff coming through. And to separate yourself, I think, is important. And I think probably the most important way to separate yourself is to get, you know, quote unquote, a warm intro, right? Not cold sort of approaching.
Like first time you're hearing of them or meeting.
Yeah, like, hey, can you intro to me to so-and-so over here and make sure so-and-so is the right so-and-so, right? There's like that person is sort of focused on your industry, that partner, and really do your homework as to, you know, what are the right VCs. Because, you know, money's fungible and, you know, and you don't, it's not just for the money. They're going to bring much more sort of strategy help and things like that. So to focus on the right VC group or partner, get a warm intro and have a really, really solid, good deck, pitch deck. You know, it should be sharp. You should go through many, many iterations and not just like send your first draft.
No, that makes sense. So is there anything like Shark Tank? I have to ask, because or nothing about that nature, huh?
I don't know. It may have been, it used to may have been a little like that sort of. I don't think, you know, it's not like that, but there's sort of elements in that, at least when I was doing this, you know, 15, 20 years ago. I think it's different now. You know, it's not as intimidating. It's not as sort of cutthroat, if you will, but you know, there's still elements of that. Sure. You know, you're asking for like, you know, hopefully millions of dollars, and it's, you know, there are a lot of people in that line.
So I have to imagine doing what you do, obviously the law firm doing what you do. What are some things that you notice people just don't have, they're not either ready for it yet, or you just notice, I don't know, I'm trying to think of not necessarily mistakes, but missing links when people are bringing, you know, their businesses to you, whether they're too new or too advanced, or anything. I guess I'm just trying to spark something that maybe that would come to mind for you. Anything that kind of, you feel like people are like, hey, I really feel like people are missing the boat on this. Or man, when they come to me about this, but they don't even have this yet. So I have this before you do that. Anything. So a lot of times, you know, people try to, you know, maybe put like, the buggy before the horse, right? They're like, well, I'm doing this. I'm like, whoa, hold on here. You don't even have this yet. So sometimes when people talk about their business, I'm like, well, you're here, but you're on step five, but you guys didn't even do step one and two yet. So any kind of sparks, because I don't want to answer that question for you. I really want to know your thoughts, your unfiltered thoughts.
Probably two things. I mean, you know, there are a lot of things, but sort of on the hard side of things, you know, at least the folks we represent, VC firms, they like to see some revenue. You know, I mean, I think a lot, you know, there are firms and funds out there that do pre-revenue investing. But I think, you know, at least the ones we represent, and they like to see some revenue traction, right? And if you don't have that, it's going to be a super hard sell. And then, and it shows, in my mind, it shows sort of to tie in, to loop back to what we were talking about initially, it shows execution skills, right? Because, you know, if you're pre-revenue, you probably have a decent idea and you have a good idea. But to get to revenue requires like real execution.
Yeah, and grit that we talked about. Oh my gosh, you're so right. Because just from a non-entrepreneurial standpoint for a second, I can't tell you, I've hired an employee. They are great in the interview. They have a great resume. But you give them all the training they need to do. And then a week goes by and you're like, nothing happened. And then another and go like, whoa, like this person is not executing when it comes down to it. And a lot of times it's just like, they don't want to or whatever, they're just not doing it, or they, my gosh, you know, so I can only imagine that's gotta be crazy if someone's asking for some capital and they're like, I don't even know really how you're going to execute.
Yeah. And yeah, so I think that's important, and that's kind of on the hard skills side. And then the soft skills side is, you know, you got to be passionate about it. And that's got to come through, because, you know, let's be honest, it's really hard. And most startups fail. You know, you always hear about the unicorns and the folks that are doing really well. But honestly, those are sort of not the outliers, but they're certainly not the core group of startups. Those are, you know, it's people select for that because they're great stories. But so you got to, but to get there, it's super hard. And there's a million hurdles you got to clear to get there. But if you're passionate about it, that makes it easier. And you're not going to get there if you don't have the passion. And I think in pitches, it comes through. Like if you're really, truly, sincerely passionate about an idea or a mission or a company, that's going to come through. And, you know, early stage venture capital groups, they're betting on the idea for sure. And they're betting on the market fit. But if more than anything, they're betting on the founder and the person.
Yeah.
And does this person really, truly, to their core, believe what they're doing? And if they do, that, you know, that's going to make them sort of infinitely more probable of success.
Yeah. So that being said, what do you think? Such a general question, so I apologize if it's too general, but do you see any void in the market that you're like, man, we need more people doing this or solving these problems, or maybe there's too many? Okay, there's like, get in line for this. Like maybe it's, maybe it's technology, maybe it's fixing this problem. Anything kind of stands out to mind? Like, man, we need more people that are solving these types of problems. I feel like that would be, not easier, but I guess I'll use the word easier for lack of better terms that kind of break into that. Do you see a flood in the market somewhere or maybe a lack in the market at all that kind of stands out to you?
That's a good question. And I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to upset a few people saying this, but
it's a podcast. We can speak freely here.
Yeah. So, you know, I think we need less people doing like crypto plays and less people doing like pet plays. I've just seen so many companies and like, it's so, in my opinion, it's super saturated now. So I guess sort of like I'm going to answer that sort of in the negative, right? So, you know, I think there's so many problems, or not even problems. There's so many things that can be made more efficient, made more consumer friendly, made more tech sort of applicable. There's so much stuff out there, right? I can't think of anything in particular in my mind that needs to be addressed or solved. But you know, I always sort of gravitate to people that are in novel spaces. That's harder. It's easier to sort of jump on bandwagons. But you know, I mean, it's like, so, you know, it's like getting to one, right? I mean, there's that sort of book, like zero to one, like create the, you know, the space, like find something no one else is really thinking about that has a lot of opportunity.
So this next question is for me. It's actually not for anybody else. Yeah. So you're, you know, like sometimes our listeners are just a fly in the room. So that being said, you know, obviously you're very busy doing a lot of different things, the K House, your law firm, obviously business is booming. So what do you think, again, my question to you is, we do a lot of networking events. And for me, I don't always want to just draw newer entrepreneurs. I want to draw experienced entrepreneurs. I want to draw people, you know, big name entrepreneurs that I want to attract them. So any advice for me, or any advice for people that want to do that? What and maybe another way to ask it is, what would attract you to a networking event? Because one of the reasons why we started this podcast is like, I want to be different from everybody else. I don't want to just do the same thing that everybody else is doing networking event wise. I feel like sometimes networking is stuck in the 90s, but we'll just stick to what works. But I think there's a better, unique way. And that's the void I wanted to fill. But anything that you think that would get bigger names or people like you there? Because I know everybody's personality is different. Some people are introverted, some people are extroverted. I get that. But in a general, got anything for me there?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wouldn't classify myself in the category of bigger names at all. But to get sort of the bigger names sort of to these events as speakers, you know, there's sort of two things. I think in one respect, there's got to be something in it for them, right? So, you know, what are you sort of bringing to the table for them? And that could be in the form of really interesting companies that they might be interested in investing in mentoring, in sort of becoming associated with. But also, you know, I, at least in my experience, those folks that have been in the business for a long time, that have had some success, tend to be pretty generous with their time, even though they're super busy generally. I think they sort of sincerely want to help and sort of pass some knowledge along, right? So I think, you know, I don't know how you sort of tap into that, but to say, hey, we have a bunch of young entrepreneurs, or not just young, but early, you know, sort of early entrepreneurs and founders that are super excited about this space and could really, you know, use some of your guidance and mentorship, I think really appeals to a large segment of those folks.
Yeah. Cause you know, I like to have a mixed bag, right? What I thought was really cool about Techstars is when you went there, you have a little mixed bag of everybody, Capital Ventures, people that really just don't even have a name or logo yet, and everywhere in between. And I feel like we have some big name people on here that are our events, but I just kind of want to get an idea of maybe getting more. I don't know. I'm not even sure, but I wanted to get someone else's thoughts besides my own here. That being said, we only have a few minutes left. Things go very quick here. So do you feel like there's anything we're missing in terms of entrepreneurship in Buffalo that you think that others should know about or maybe hit home more on, or maybe again, so many times, you know, when I see somebody bringing up an idea to me or talking about their business, I'm like, man, you are missing it here. Like, you're great here, but you're missing it. One thing I've noticed for me anyways, I'll speak for me while you're thinking, having your thoughts here, is that people are afraid to delegate and hire. And the biggest things that I've noticed for me really helped me in my younger entrepreneurial career is that delegating things, like busy work, things I don't want to do, things I'm not passionate about, and just really sticking to, I don't want to say my genius because I wouldn't consider myself a genius in any way, shape, or form, but things I really love doing, because that's when I think the genius comes out, is when you really are doing what you love doing versus, oh, I got to do this paperwork, I got to answer these emails, I got to do my social media page. I don't even like social media. That's what I notice. A lot of people, they're afraid to take that step. And one thing, when I noticed I hired one employee, then I started hiring my two. Next thing I have five or six. I'm like, man, I should have done this sooner. That's what I notice a lot of people are doing as soon as they get big enough where I'm so busy, but why am I capping myself off? Well, that's it. You're not hiring, you're not delegating. But anyways, I want to hear your thoughts now.
Yeah, no, I think that's, so I'll just sort of echo what you just said. I mean, I'm terrible at delegating and I still am challenged with that. And hey, life's a journey and I'm still learning and I'm getting better at it. And to your point, you got to focus on your strengths, right? You can't do everything, particularly as an organization gets bigger. And if you are able to delegate, the key thing is someone you trust and someone you know that's going to do a good job, because if you don't trust them, they don't do a good job, then it's just going to be worse. But so I think that's key. But I think in Western New York, in the startup community, and I think it's come a long way since I sort of got to Buffalo 12 years ago, but just sort of have a perspective beyond Western New York. Like, there's so many companies here that, have a product, have a service that can really go national, international, and, the development of technology just makes that easier by the day. And that's how you should think. It's not like, all right, I need to get like a bunch of Western New York customers or clients. Like, why hold yourself back? Right. And I think, and I'm not saying that's sort of endemic to Western New York, but I see a lot of that. But I also see a lot of companies that have sort of broken through that and founders that have broken through that. And that, once they sort of see, hey, wait a second, like, I should be marketing out here, that really helps.
No, I agree. So, that being said, that's it. We have a minute and a half left here. So, Dave, I always want to make sure that I give everybody the opportunity to connect with you, because there's a lot of questions. I'm sure they're like, oh, I hope Dave asked this question, but we didn't get to, I didn't think about it. Maybe they have a specific question for you. So those that want to connect with you as an entrepreneur, I'm like, hey, I have these questions, or hey, you mentioned this, but what do you mean about that? What is the best way for someone to get a hold of you? Some people put their cell phone, some people put their emails, everyone is different. Yeah. Some of you are more private than others. What's the best way for people to contact you?
You know, email's like the best for me. And my email address is dk@Kimmelberg, KIMMELBERG.com. Or, just come down. We love showing the K House off. And we put a ton of time and energy into this space. And we're really proud of it. And like I said, we love showing it off. So, just come down, check it out. I'm here all the time.
Yeah. And I was totally amazed by this place. I thought it was really cool. It's right where it's the same building. It says Keep Buffalo a Secret. So maybe you've seen that driving around downtown. But that being said, so again, thank you to everyone that is listening to our podcast. Make sure you're subscribing it. And I can't say this over and over again, but people always tell me, hey, Dave, tell me when your next event is. We have over 3,000 email subscribers to our podcast alone, and I can't let you guys all know individually, guys and girls. So the point is that if you have not subscribed to our email list, please do, so you're always notified when the next event is, because I can't do it. So I barely forget, what I had for lunch, let alone reminding somebody for an event. So make sure you guys are doing that if you have not already. And thank you for all of our listeners. And Dave, thanks so much for being a great guest on our show today.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
If you loved listening to the Western New York Entrepreneurs Podcast and want more, subscribe to it and head on over to WNYEntrepreneur.com for articles, what's coming up next, and to get involved. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.